All right, welcome back in. 8:27 on a beautiful little Monday morning, July the 6th. Hope your 4th of July weekend was great. We're World Cupping right now. We've talked a lengthy amount of World Cup. USA and Belgium tonight, 5 o'clock. Before that, you've got Portugal and Spain. So the winners of those two matches will face each other as we roll on with World Cup action. And I thought it'd be really good fun to bring on a good friend of the station, the Timbers, and MLS soccer, very smart soccer guy himself, Jake Zivin, on Twitter, at Jake Zivin. Timber fan back tomorrow with Patrick Harrison, Jake Zivin, is where you can find him on social media, at Jake Zivin. Jake, good morning. Thanks for hopping on with us, man. I know you're getting back into town and getting into the swing of things, but following the World Cup, what do you make of Balogun's suspension being lifted?
Sprague, it's wild. It's astonishing. It makes me feel like soccer has maybe kind of made it in the country now because everybody is talking about it, which we would never have thought would happen for a piece of soccer news. Everyone has their opinions now on what a red card is, what a red card isn't, about the video review process. But look, frankly, it's fairly amazing that this has happened. I'm actually driving up to the game right now. I'm on the road. I'm going to the game with a few of my best friends from high school who live in Seattle, from high school back in Evanston, Illinois. And so I'm not sure if there's any new information, but when I left this morning, Belgium is appealing. It's drama, and that happens in sports. And it's important for the U.S. to have Flo Balogun if he's going to be available. He makes such a difference. But it's just the whole drama behind it. You never thought that there would be a soccer moment in this country that would just bring up so many people talking. In a way, all news is good news, I think, when it comes to the sport in this country.
Yeah, and I think I said earlier, like, I know the internet's trying to make people feel otherwise. I think most American fans and people rooting for USA, like, yeah, is it absolutely shady? Sure, but we want our best player and we want him to not be suspended. What did you make of the red card as somebody that covers not only MLS, but you've been watching soccer a long time? What did you make of the red card and just the review process of deciding that he was going to be suspended?
Yeah, I thought it was a harsh red card. You know, the difficulty in those moments for the referees is that intention is not in the rules of the game. So the rules of the game are meant to worry about what a player does, not what a player was trying to do. And that's supposed to take judgment and ambiguity out of these decisions. But I think it also then leads to a moment like this where you look at a freeze frame, you look at super slow motion, and the result is something that's really dangerous. It's serious foul play. It could have broken the Belgian player's ankle. But when you kind of you look back and you watch the whole thing and you watch it in full speed, to me, the Belgian player puts Balogun off balance. He goes through Balogun to win the ball, which is fair. But because he bumps into Balogun to get there first and get in the ball, Balogun's off balance. He puts his foot down. The guy's foot is there. To me, it's not a red card because of that. And so I thought on video review, I'm not that aggrieved by the video review slowing it down and using a still frame. That happens all the time. You know, there's been those screenshots going around on the internet about how video review is supposed to be applied. That's a recommendation. It's not a steadfast law. There are things in soccer that are laws that IFAB is the governing body of soccer rules. They have a very 100-page long rule book. They have laws. These are just recommendations, best practices, so to speak. But I think they did go a little too far into just slow motion and not kind of having the referee look at everything in full speed and kind of realize, hey, this isn't a red card. And again, to go to video review, which is only supposed to be for clear and obvious errors, I thought was really harsh. So I think it's the correct outcome of Balogun not being suspended, but I understand that the process is causing a lot of questions. And this is making the United States the villain. I mean, they've never been a villain in soccer, ever. And now there's pressure on the United States because the rest of the world hates us because they think we're getting favorable treatment. It's very interesting. Very interesting all around.
Yeah, the World Cup rolls on. Jake Zivin, our guest here, Apple TV's very own. Obviously, one of the lead voices of the MLS on Twitter, at Jake Zivin, going up to Seattle for USA and Belgium. How do we just feel about the matchup? I know we've got Balogun playing. Yeah. The suspension's been lifted. I look on, you know, look, I'm not Mr. Know-everything-about-soccer guy. If I was to look at, like, odds, it makes it seem like the USA's a slight favorite, but largely they're kind of in the same wheelhouse. How do you feel about the matchup with Belgium, knowing Balogun's going to be out there, it being in Seattle? You know it's going to be absolute madness up there. Yeah. You're not wrong on saying we're the villain, but there's going to be a lot of red, white, and blue, and so just how you feel about the matchup against Belgium?
It's going to be an incredible atmosphere, first and foremost. That's going to help the United States. I can't wait to be up in Seattle. I know there's going to be a ton of people from Portland coming up to Seattle. The Pacific Northwest is the heartbeat of soccer in this country. I'm so glad this game is being played in the Pacific Northwest, even if it's in Seattle. You know, I know some Timber supporters hate Seattle. But look, we're all brothers and sisters in this, in the Pacific Northwest. Belgium's good. This is the best team the United States have played. You don't count the Turkey, the Turkey A game, because of the, you know, they rotated everybody and they'd already won the group. Belgium beat the United States 5-2 in March in what we call a friendly, essentially an exhibition game. Wasn't in a competition, but it was, you know, these are still important games and people are trying to win these games. The U.S. had a slightly different group out there. Belgium gave the United States a lot of problems as the game went on. Their quality really showed through. They have a winger named Jeremy Doku who plays for Manchester City. He's one of the most dangerous players in the world, one of the best kind of 1v1 players in the world, and the United States had a really difficult time dealing with him specifically in that game. But look, the Belgium has not looked great in this tournament. They haven't looked super confident. They haven't looked in control. They needed a miraculous comeback against Senegal, who collapsed at the end of their game in the round of 32. Belgium was down 2-0 in the 85th minute of that game. It's the first time a team has ever been trailing by two goals at that point in the game in a World Cup and won the game. And Belgium came back to win in extra time. So they look vulnerable. But man, this game, this type of opponent, this is what all of us that have been so invested in and are so around United States soccer for so long, this is what we've been waiting for in this tournament, because this is where we expect and everybody expects the U.S. to be, in the round of 16. They usually get to the round of 16. And then they usually meet a traditional, bigger soccer power, and they go home. And so to see, hey, is there progress in United States men's soccer? Is this, can they compete? Can they get to that upper echelon? They got to win this game, I think. And we want to see them win this game. So, man, it's not going to be easy, but I do think slight favorites is probably right, given how the teams have looked in the tournament and given that the United States is going to have a massive home field advantage in Seattle. I can't wait. I can't wait to see if they can do it, if they can beat one of these bigger European teams in the knockout stages of the World Cup for the first time.
You know, a lot of people went into the World Cup, you know, I think purists of the World Cup and soccer football diehards of just like the expansion part of the tournament. And I know there's been rumors they might expand even more, right? We see the NCAA tournament is growing year after year in basketball. And I know it was talked about going in, but, you know, in a weird way, I feel like it's delivered, has it not? The expansion of the World Cup, including more teams, learning more stories about new countries, making fans, you know, giving them the opportunity to travel wherever the World Cup ends up being. So, like, where were you at pre-World Cup on the expansion, and where are you at now with the World Cup kind of getting down the Elite Eight?
I would say I didn't love the expansion, just like with the NCAA tournament. You know, I think you want to keep it tight. You don't want to dilute a competition. It's a little different, though, because it's once every 4 years. You know, the NCAA tournament is every year, and you play a full regular season to whittle the teams down to the tournament anyway. It's a different type of situation. It's been a huge success. I love it. I was wrong. Mm-hmm. It's been nearly perfect. And I actually think they have to expand to 64 now, because I think the worst part of this expansion was the whole 8 of 12 third place teams get in. Where are you in the third place ranking? By the time the last game in the group stage ends, those teams that are going to finish third know what they have to do to pass up the teams that are already finished. You've got, you know, not being able to project the matchup in the round of 32 because there's 480 permutations of which who your opponent could be depending on which groups the third place teams come out of. It was a little complicated. I think go to 64 teams. There's clearly enough talent in the world for that. 16 groups of four teams, top two from each group go. It's simple as to how you get to the next round. It's simple what your matchup is going to be. Puts more drama on the final day of the group stage. Gets back to being that drama we know. And I think we've proven it's not going to dilute it that much. You're going to have these stories of Cape Verde, who may have qualified if there was only 32 teams, by the way. They won their group in African qualifying. So maybe it's a little unfair to use them as that example. But even Curaçao in that game where their goalkeeper, Eloy Room, had 15 saves. You get these wonderful stories because of the expanded World Cup. So I think go to 64, and it'll continue to be a success.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing if USA can beat Belgium, and then, like, do they play Portugal or they play Spain? That's obviously that's going to be a huge conversation. But I would say if I was to take off the red, white, and blue glasses, Erling Haaland against Harry Kane, we get Norway getting as far as they've ever been with England, who seems to be in a position of, like, people thought they'd lose to Mexico. They come out, get two quick goals in the 30th, 36th, 37th minutes, I think, is when they scored them. End up winning a little bit of a shootout in 3-2 in Estadio Azteca. I'm really looking forward to it. I put a poll question up. I know the golden boot is about who scores the most goals, but who is your golden booter? Messi, Mbappe, Haaland, or Harry Kane?
Oh, man, it's hard. I think Mbappe is going to be there at the end because I think France is going to win the whole thing.
So do I.
But Messi's not going to stop scoring. I worry about Argentina getting past the quarterfinals and potentially Colombia. I think it could come to the end for them there. But, man, I think it's the best golden boot race we've ever had. It's going to be fascinating to see how all of these superstars finish off this tournament. It has been a tournament of superstars. And, man, I can't wait.
Yeah, there's nothing more you could ask for. Jake Zivin, Apple TV's very own, MLS's very own, getting ready to head up. He's on his way to Seattle now as USA-Belgium. We got a 5 o'clock kick over there at Lumen Field. World Cup action, man. Country's been, I think, captivated by the World Cup. It's been great. It's been interesting. It's been controversial. And USA being involved in all of that is what makes it better. Follow him on Twitter, at Jake Zivin. And Timber Fan is back tomorrow. Do I have that correct?
I got to talk to my man, Patrick.
Okay.
We'll figure it out either tomorrow or next week.
I think that's more about how drunk do I get because USA's beaten Belgium.
I plead the fifth.
There we go. Good stuff. Thanks for joining us, Jake. We appreciate it.
Cheers, Brandon. Cheers.
All right. There we go. Good stuff. Jake Zivin, Apple TV, MLS's very own. He's on his way. I'm jealous. I am. I'm being serious, man. I think I'm going to talk to the wife today and see if she wants to go to, like, a World Cup watch party somewhere. Just ditch the kids and be like, dude, you guys can fend for yourselves. You know how to make macaroni and cheese. And I'm pumped for it, man. I don't care about being the villain. I'm used to that. Like, whatever. Lean into it and let's beat Belgium. I've known Jake Zivin. Like, not known. I'm, like, not going to pretend that we're friends and we text all the time. I've known Jake Zivin a long time. In fact, Jake Zivin worked at KEZI down in Eugene for a few years. He was working down there when I had just graduated college. And I was covering Oregon State for my first year out of college for now defunct Comcast Northwest. And I had to get to know, you know, I was around all the media members. I want to be the odd duck. So I'd get to know everybody. Him, Steven Nelson, Phil Milani, Paul Bucher, dude, just all of the guys that were around the general OSUB. So it's been really cool to see somebody that I met years and years ago in my 20s that was, you know, grinding away down in Eugene regional television. He's become one of the big voices in American soccer, and he's one of the lead guys for Apple TV. And so just really cool to see the growth of other people's careers and root for people instead of being jealous. And Jake is a genuinely good dude, so I'm sure he's gonna have a good time up in Seattle watching USA try to take down Belgium.
It's exciting. Go to a watch party if you got one. I know we're doing a family one, but if you want to go to Providence Park, check it out there. That's going to be a scene. But yeah, watch the game. Like, if we're going off a 4th of July weekend, keep that spirit going. watch the game tonight.
Yep.
Like, be a part of history. Whether we win or lose, this is a historic moment for this soccer team.
People are stoked about it, man.
And it's gonna be a scene. If it's anything like the World Cup has been so far, yep, this is a game you don't want to miss.
And that stadium is going to be loud, as yes, American football fans will tell you. That place can get loud with the 12s. I'd imagine that's what's going to happen today. All right, we got a lot more to get into. Eric Gunderson coming up at 9 a.m., 9:05 to be exact. So we'll talk Blazers with Gundy. Got some poll questions up. Dirt and Sprague, we roll on 8:42 on The Fan.